When the art day gets rough, you just gotta keep on punching. And here's your Thunder Punch Daily with Jersey Drozd.
Hey, it's me, Jersey, and it's time for your Thunder Punch Daily, the show I record in my car, sharing a few thoughts from the mind of a cartoonist. I think I'm trimming the fat on the intro a little bit. And oh, there's my segue into talking about the thought of the day. I'm going to respond to sort of what's becoming a threaded conversation amongst the microcasts at artandstorypodcast.com. Mark does a Mark of the Beast episode about explicit character. Kevin follows it up with an episode about trimming the fat in design, and a little bit about storytelling too in Kevin Cross's excellent High Adventure Daily. And life's funny because I had intended today to sort of elaborate on some of their points from a storytelling point of view about writing, trimming the fat of writing. But as it happens, today in class, I got a really interesting question from a student who said to me, he said, how do I take a story where I've got all the essentials there? I want this thing, he's working on a screenplay actually, and he said, I want this thing to be an hour and I've only got about 22 minutes worth of content. He said that I've got everything I need to tell the story, but I want it to be longer. I got this gut feeling this thing needs to be longer, but I don't know how to make it longer without adding fluff. He said, I don't want to add fluff. I don't want to add anything unnecessary to the story, but I want it to be longer. And you know what? That's a valid question. Because, and it may sound funny to say that, because one of the things that I think all of us on the Art and Story shows harp on is keeping to the essentials. What's essential to the story? What is necessary to the story? If you write something or introduce something that doesn't reflect on one of the key critical points of delivering your story, and I'm going to get to what the story is in a second, because I think it requires elaboration always, because it's a pretty nebulous concept. So, but if it doesn't reflect on what the story is about or what you're trying to say with the story, then it doesn't need to be there, does it? So, if I were perhaps a little bit more glib with my students, I'm going to start using that word a lot ever since Roger Langridge of HotelFred.com jokingly accused me of being glib. I thought that was very appropriate, very funny. If I were more glib with my students, I would have said to him, well, it doesn't need to be longer, does it? 22 minutes is all you need to tell. But he had a gut feeling that this thing needed to be longer. And you know what? You can make a story longer if you want to. I don't think that we should always be on some kind of holy quest to make things as short as possible till we have 1 minute long stories. Because let me go into it this way. Let's take Tolkien, however you pronounce his name, Lord of the Rings guy. And in the second book of the trilogy, there's this scene where Legolas, Gimli, and Aragorn are running across these hills and fields in pursuit of Merry and Pippin, who have been captured by orcs. Now, there's like one or two chapters in the book about them running, following these characters. And that accomplishes two things. It demonstrates how long and hard these guys struggled to catch up with Merry and Pippin. And two, it helps. There's some characterization moments, but there's also moments where we're just reflecting on the beauty of the world. Tolkien, for better or worse, is really good at describing scenery. And that's one of the things I like about his writing is that, yeah, I get a feeling of being there with the characters because he does such a good job of using words to describe a scene and the scenery, the surrounding world. Now, I could just say Legolas, Gimli, and Aragorn ran for several days to catch up with Merry and Pippin. That only took a few seconds. That was a sentence. And I told the same thing. So I pared it down to the essence, to the essential nature of what those actions were. But by Tolkien spending chapters on it, we participate in their suffering as they're running for days and days on end, and as they're having to eat little pieces of the elven bread to give themselves the strength to keep going on. My sentence of them running for days and days, that tells you what you need to know, but it doesn't have the panache, it doesn't have the style, it doesn't have the tone, it doesn't make you feel like you're there. So that's one thing. So it's not always fat. And I'm not arguing with Kevin here. I'm just elaborating on this point from another point of view, is that elaboration is not fat. To elaborate on a point or an idea or a moment is not necessarily fat. The other thing to think about is, in one of the past Thunder Punch dailies, I remember talking a little bit about arguing for your theme, using characters to be different viewpoints and arguments for or against the central point of your story or the points of exploration in your story. So you can expand on that. You can expand on that thinking, continuing on with this idea of your theme being your argument, in other words, your thesis. Now we're talking about writing a paper. You can write a 2-page paper on a topic. You can write a 20-page paper on a topic. What's the difference? The 20-page paper is going to be more exhaustive and more thorough. So you can think of it that way. You could think of a long story being a more thorough explanation or exploration of an idea than a shorter one. Now, the shorter one's going to be effective, but the longer one is going to give you more information, more viewpoints, and more sophistication of the exploration. Meaning, a longer story is going to allow you to explore a character's inner inconsistencies and contradictions. We all are full of contradictions. And, we aren't just the two-dimensional version of ourselves that other people see us as. And there's things that about us that are, and I don't want to get too personal about this necessarily, but something Jeremy Burley of OpticHouse.com said to me as he was joking around with me. I can't remember if this was on mic or not. It was on an episode of Art and Star Extreme, the one called Wonder that we did a week ago. And he was talking about, I think this was off mic, he was talking about how he saw a Highlights for Children magazine on the rack when he was at the dentist's office or something. And he was saying how he thought of me. And you're just goofing around, kidding around about like, oh, Jersey, you're the wholesome guy because you don't like to talk about gross things on the show. And of course, that's not all there is to me. Of course, there's, levels of sophistication beyond cartoons and children's entertainment to my personality, but that's just not what I like to put on display. You think about that in terms of your characters. What is immediately apparent about them? What assumptions can we make about them? And what contradiction can we introduce into them to make them more sophisticated? And then what kind of pressures are at work within that character to between their public face and then their inner contradictions? So, and that can be applied as an elaboration on a greater point in your story to make a more thorough explanation of your theme. So, I guess my thesis here is that yes, you can be you can extend a story out without it being fat, providing that you're elaborating, that you are being more thorough, or you are exploring a tone and making inviting greater participation on the part of your readers to explore the world that your characters are living in. And those are just some of the ways you can elaborate. But what you don't want to do is you don't want to wander. I think that's the thing that Kevin and Mark and I have talked about on past podcasts is you don't want to just wander for the sake of it. To counterpoint this whole discussion about length is I remember writing a scene in the original draft of The Front where Thirsty and Knox, this is right after Thirsty and Knox find out that they're going to be hunted by this evil ancient guy for the rest of their lives. And Rex has been protecting them up to this point, but they're of age now. It's time they knew about the danger and whatnot. And Thirsty says, geez, you know, Rex, this is a lot to take in. I got to go get a burger to let it all sink in. And in the final copy, the final draft of the book that's available now at mlatcomics.com, Thirsty and Knox just go for a drive. They drop Gibson off at the music store, and then I show this two or three panel sequence of them just sitting there looking pensive. In the original draft, or the first draft of the script of the thumbnails, I drafted out this whole scene where they, like, Thirsty and Knox just have this heart to heart, and they're pouring their guts out with each other about this isn't the life I expected. Who knew that being a 16-year or 18-year-old boy would mean that now I got to enter the world of manhood and I got to deal with all these dangers and whatnot. And Knox is sitting there saying like, yeah, I know, we had dreams that we wanted to follow, and now our lives are never going to be the same. Okay. first of all, it's breaking a cardinal rule of writing, is that don't have your characters narrate the plot. And two, it was unnatural. 18-year-old boys don't, not at least most of the 18-year-old boys that I knew, don't spill their guts like that with each other, no matter how close they are. And three, it didn't lend anything to the overall point of the scene. When I stopped and stood and looked at that scene again and said, what is this scene about? This is about the boys feeling like their lives are changed. Well, do I need words for that? I could just show them looking pensive, and now I've shown that. And I've done it in two panels, whereas it would have been 2 to 3 pages of obnoxious angst of the boys beating their chests and pulling their hair. So those are the kind of decisions you have to make when you're elaborating your story, is does the elaboration lend any new information or further exploring any of the information that you wanted to convey or explore in your story, if that makes any sense. So who am I? I'm Jersey Drozd, jdrozd.com, Jersey on the Twitter. You know this by now. You know about the other stuff on Art and Story Supreme, all the videos and extra podcasts and whatnot, and the forum. Thank you for participating in the forum, by the way. And thank you very much for supporting us in this endeavor. We could not do this without you. I know I repeat it again and again. If you're getting tired of hearing it, I apologize. But, you know, it really does mean that much to us that you would lend support to this thing that we have to keep saying. Thank you very much. Thank you very much over and over again. So I'll be back soon with another Thunder Punch Daily. Until then, remember, everybody.
As you saw in today's story, people can change.
Right, Tila. Sibylline had always been an evil sorceress, but she was able to change her ways for the better. Maybe there's something about yourself that you don't like. A bad habit, maybe.
It's easy to say I can't change, but the truth is, you can change almost any behavior if you really want to.
And the first step is saying to yourself, I can't.